Brother Alan McAllister is our next speaker, and he selected for his subject, Binding the Strong Man. Binding the Strong Man. Brother McAllister.
Thank you, Brother Jesuit. Have you been enjoying the convention? I certainly have been having a wonderful session of fellowship and lessons. Yesterday, about this time, a little earlier, we had Brother Chapelbaum talk to us about Satan's house divided. We had a lesson earlier that day on Thy Kingdom Come. Our theme text, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye pay attention. It all refers to, I think, this time in which we're living. All things are related, and it all gives us a lesson of how faithful we should be to what we have. Our text we're going to use is Matthew, the 12th chapter, the 24th to the 29th verse. I'm sure it's very familiar to all of us. We're going to use the Diaglot translation. These are the words of our Lord. You'll recall that our Lord spoke to the Pharisees after he had cured a man who was possessed with a demon, and the man was blind and he was dumb. He couldn't speak. The account reads, "But the Pharisees, hearing them, said, 'This man could not expel demons except through Beelzebul, the prince of the demons.' And he, knowing their thoughts," this of course is Jesus, "he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, 'Every kingdom being divided against itself is desolated, and no city or house being divided against itself can stand. Now, if the adversary expel the adversary, he is at variance." He is at conflict. Well, that's what it means. "He is at variance with himself. How then will his kingdom stand? Besides, if I, through Beelzebul, expel demons, through whom do your sons expel them?" Remember, the sons of the Pharisees did this also. So he's pointing this out to them. "Therefore they will be your judges, but if it be by divine cooperation that I cast out demons, then God's royal majesty has unexpectedly appeared among you. Moreover, how can anyone enter the strong one's house and plunder his goods unless he first bind the strong one? And then indeed he may plunder his house." Again, as we had related earlier, our Lord was preaching the kingdom. This was one of his main topics, the preaching of our Lord concerning the kingdom. And here his acts of healing was a demonstration of the healing feature, the mediatorial reign phase of his kingdom. This example that he related to the Pharisees concerning the casting out of the demon from this man, an example for our day. The day of the invisible second presence of our Lord. He has entered the strong man out of the strong one's house. the present evil world that we see shown, well, it's not shown on this chart in reference that way, but the second dispensation that is thrown there, is shown there, is Satan's dominion, the world. And what is it? And immediately he put, when he entered the strong one's house, immediately he put restraints on the strong man. And his house is being plundered by the Lord's great army. We'd like to just refer to another sure word of prophecy of Joel. This is Joel, the second chapter. Joel, the second chapter, the 11th verse. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great. For he is strong that executeth his word, for the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? In volume 4 of Studies in the Scripture, Brother Russell writes of this great army as, I quote, a great army of discontents, patriots, reformers, socialists, moralists, anarchists, ignorants, and hopeless, and use their hopes, fears, follies, and selfishness according to his divine wisdom to work out his own grand purposes in the overthrow of present institutions and for the preparation of man for the kingdom of righteousness. Fourth volume, page 550. Truly, I think it's been reiterated a number of times during this convention that this division, Satan's house, is divided. The turmoil in the ecclesiastical heavens, the turmoil in Africa, the Mideast, in the old former communist states. The whole world is and has been in a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. And of course, you recognize that sure word of prophecy from Daniel, the 12th chapter, the first verse. Michael stood up, our Lord returned invisibly in 1874, we believe, proven by that sure word of prophecy. 1914 saw the beginning of this prophesied time of trouble, and the world has been in this unprecedented in the history of the world ever since, and it's getting worse. So we see that before our Lord's second advent, from the time of his baptism in Jordan to the time of his second advent, during this time, Satan has had full liberty to deceive the nations. His house was in order. He was in complete control. Maybe some of the brethren remember, I'm sure there's many of the brethren here that remember Brother Chester Sunbaum. Some of the younger ones, of course, do not. But Brother Sunbaum had made a little puzzle, as it were. He put the pieces all together. It was the divine plan of the ages. But on there, too, was a bar, what we call a bar graph today. And He had a series of lines. The first series of lines were vertical, all in order, representing Satan's kingdom. All in order. He had everything in order. The return of our Lord. The lines began to fall one way or the other. Disorder. And that was his point. A very good, many brethren have used that illustration. We still have that cardboard device that he made. It's interesting. So, Satan in complete control, and because of this, the true believers, the followers of our Lord, endured. They endured much hardship and persecution. At the time of our Lord's first advent, he spoke to the apostles. We have this in John. John, the 14th chapter. The first three verses. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Preparing a place, waiting for God's due time to start his rule, and cooperating with his heavenly Father in selecting a people for his name. Discipline and testing his house. The Apostle Paul, in Hebrews, the 3rd chapter, verse 6, writes, but Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. The work of the gospel age, the true followers of Jesus are made ready to rule with him. The world itself in full control by the adversary. Satan, remember, had been cast out of the position that he once had. And at the time of our Lord, Satan being cast down to the earth, our Lord was tempted of Satan. All the kingdoms of the world were offered to our Lord. As recorded, of course, in Matthew, the 4th chapter, the 8th verse. All this would be offered to him, the power, the glory, everything of this worldly kingdoms, if our Lord would fall down and worship Satan. Satan could offer this because he was the God of the present evil world. And I'm sure that we all recall our Lord's words. It's recorded in Matthew, the 4th chapter, the 10th verse, Matthew 4:10. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Now, Satan is an entity. He is a being. This very thought is being challenged by many. You know, if they challenge and say there is no God, they're going to say there is no devil. So this is part of higher criticism, atheism. If you're an atheist, you don't believe anything. If it's things happen, things just came together. This human body that we have just formed over the billions of years to the precise mechanism that it has, I remember when we were living in Pittsburgh, an older Greek brother, he used to, you know, he was strong on this. And so he took off his watch and he says, "Isn't that wonderful the way that watch just went together? How it evolved? How we got this gadget? It just happened. It took a few years to happen, but it happened." Now, no one would believe that, but yet they'd believe that this human body and the whole creation of Earth just evolved. How come that the human is the only being, the only animal on Earth that can reason, that has a conscience, that can design, that can build? Now we have animals that can build dams, but that's all they can do. We have birds that sing. They only sing a certain repertoire, even the mockingbird. That's probably the most unique bird, but still he can only sing what other birds sing. He can't come up with something new. Well, the point is that Satan is an entity. He is a being. And the scriptures tell us about this in many places. This scripture that of the encounter of Jesus with Satan was not a figment of his imagination or a lesson that was related. In fact, the name Satan appears 36 times in the New Testament. The names devil and Satan refer not merely to the person of the adversary, but to all that system of things of which he has stood as the representative, the head, the center. Luke records in the 11th chapter, the 21st verse, Luke 11, 21, says, "When a strong man, armed, keepeth his palace, his goods are in place, are in peace." They're in peace. Now that makes sense, doesn't it? You know, if you have a small community or whatever, your police force, if everything is in place and secure, you're in peace. So this has been the condition, as we related, this has been the condition before our Lord's return. The strong man's palace, the world, has been secure. He has been in full control. The evil angels certainly have been part of his household. And we also have the testimony of the Apostle Paul speaking of the Christian before his acceptance of Christ. This is in Ephesians, the second chapter, the second verse, Ephesians 2:2. "For in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." Remember again the words of Satan to our Lord, offering him the kingdom and the power and the glory of these earthly dominions. And could he ever offer them if he didn't have control or possession of them? And this is the thought that we want to get. The common people under control of the chains of darkness that have bound mankind for many years. Now, John, in the first John 5:19, We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Now something happens to this picture, just as the scriptures foretold would happen, and we get into the second part of the lesson. Christ returned as a thief. And to understand that, this is again another picture. We have a lot of old pictures that are used. It's the old story. But a thief doesn't announce his arrival. He doesn't call you up on the phone and say that he's going to rob your place at 3 o'clock in the morning. And he doesn't come with a car with his muffler roaring and so on up your driveway or lights flashing on his car or anything else. No. A thief will come secretly, comes without fanfare. Satan was surprised and unable to stop the breakup of his house. Now we want to take note of Matthew 24. Matthew 24, the 23rd chapter, 24th chapter, the 23rd verse. I think I said the wrong verse. It's Matthew 24:43. Matthew 24:43. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. So our Lord returned in the power of his kingdom, in complete control. He was not subject to the powers that be. He was not subject to the power of Satan. No. Remember Daniel's more sure word of prophecy. Daniel 2:44. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. The book of Revelation. Now we had our panel here, and of course the Revelation too, and many of the brethren have made reference to, Revelation is a book of symbols. It's a book of symbols. We have a reference to Satan in Revelation. And this is Revelation, the 20th chapter, the 2nd verse. Many of my quotations are from the New American Standard Bible. Revelation 20, verse 2. And he laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. This word bound is an interesting word. It is Strong's number 1210. Deo, which means, and I read Strong's definition, to bind in various applications, literally or figuratively, bind, be in bonds. Now remember, the book of Revelation is a book of symbols. And I believe that we have to look at this word in that sense to get a proper understanding of this word. Now, one definition, one dictionary definition of bonds, remember our Strong's definition, one of them is be in bonds. So bonds is something that restrains, something that restrains. Our Lord returned and immediately restrained Satan. Now, we want to look at our Lord's words in Luke. Now, this is Luke, the 11th chapter. 11th chapter, 21 and 22. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divideth his spoils. Some facts. The messianic kingdom is stronger than the kingdom of Satan. I think no one will argue with that. We have many good examples of what happens when an army or a country or political party or any group of people lose their leader. What do you have? You have confusion. Control is lost. The peoples do not work together as they did before under their leader. And in the management circles or in stockbrokers' lingo or whatever, what do you have? They say a power struggle developed. You have a power struggle within the corporation, the company, in the manufacturing factory or whatever. A power struggle develops. Now, we say this to give you a picture that a new ruler is on earth scene. We have a new ruler, our returned Lord, now exercising kingdom power. The fallen angels were without the full support of their leader. And Brother Schepelbaum gave us a very good lesson on this yesterday. Immediate restraints were placed upon their leader, upon Satan. The binding process, the restraining process began. And again, we call your attention to our Lord's words in Mark 3:25. Mark 3:25. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. You can substitute that country, that corporation, or whatever. If it becomes divided, it will not stand. Now, Brother Russell had a thought that seems to fit the thought of this scripture. This is found in reprint 4609. I quote, "From about the time of our Lord's parousia, disorder began to operate in Satan's household, and that these different endeavors that we see in many quarters to carry out certain schemes more or less antagonistic the one to the other might be the result of this disorganization." The end of the quotation. The scriptures tell us that one of the works of the kingdom, the church, is the judgment of angels. Now, here then is a chance for these angels which kept not their first estate. And what was their first estate? Their first estate was their rank or status in the heavenlies, wasn't it? That's where it was. And of obedience to the Heavenly Father. And they chose to leave this first estate and cast their lot with Satan. And as a result, then they were confined to this earth's atmosphere. Have they learned a lesson? And are they now willing to be obedient to God's law? Or will they take advantage of this lack of leadership, the restraint of their leader, and with increased liberty to introduce new forms of wickedness? And I think that we have, these things are invisible to us when it's not written down black and white. But we can, I think, see as Bible students and with our eye of faith and what is happening in many areas of the world today. 1914, the Ouija board was a big thing. It still is a big thing. I don't keep records of these things, but I do remember reading not too long ago, for some reason they had made mention of it, that the manufacturer of all these spiritism and occultism, yes, thank you, Brother Hart, tarot cards. I don't know what a tarot card is, but I know it's affiliated with the occult, as long as with the Ouija board, that there is a greater business now than there ever is, just in the sale of that. But you don't hear about it. But they're selling. Not too long ago, a few years back, I guess, there was a film on spiritism, The Exorcist. I've heard, when I was working then, I heard reports about this from the workers. It's, you know, it's written up in a paper. Terrible. All of the many, many movies that have been written up about are based upon spiritism and occultism. I even heard it that many brethren think, and I go along with it, that even the clothes designers for women are influenced by spirits. I think many women will agree with it, with the new, up-to-date fashions. And I don't see anyone, the sisters, wearing any of those clothes here. They better not. Yes, so be it. But the point is that I think this is one of the ways, very subtle today, but and I think that this is some of the fallen angels have resorted to this. I do believe that there are some that have recognized their errors, but there is much to indicate. There is still that warning to resist everything akin to spiritism and occultism as far as we are concerned. And it might be reasonable to think that, you know, these fallen angels might have had some ideas of their own in the past, that they weren't permitted to put them into operation, that they might do this. This might be one of some of the ways that they're doing it, influencing the entertainment community and in other areas. Now, part of this binding process or spoiling of the household would be this division in the spiritual realm, and it would contribute to the complete spoiling or binding or restraining of that system of things which Satan has stood for since the deception of Eve and Eden, Adam and Eve in Eden. And we are talking about now the first phase of this restraining process. And we like to use this terminology that this is a first phase of the restraining process. It is associated with the destructive phase of Messiah's kingdom, the destruction of this present order of things, of the religious, the political, the financial, and social framework that must come down before the mediatorial phase of the kingdom could begin. There seems to be some that have the idea that in order to bring all the iniquity in the world to an end, it is only necessary to bind up Satan personally, and then things would just naturally readjust themselves. That I don't think is realistic. It's just not so. Perhaps this thought has contributed greatly to a misunderstanding of the work of the kingdom and the binding of the strong man, Satan. What have we seen on the world scene? Our TVs, our radios, newspapers, our magazines have all brought to our attention the mobs, the riots, the anarchy, the chaos, truly a time of trouble that the world has never seen before, a time of trouble that we see as we began with 1914 and the start of World War I. Why? Because of the presence of our King, and because of the fact that Satan's household is divided. And this is being used to plunder. That's what spoil means, to plunder his household and to level this old order of things completely. Ignorance, superstition, darkness on all levels of society has been the order of Satan's household. We only have to look at history to the Dark Ages and Satan's masterpiece that was in operation at that time and what it did in the way of darkness. That's why it was called the Dark Ages. Turning again to Daniel, the prophet, Daniel, the 12th chapter, verses 1 to 4. Daniel 12, 1 to 4. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn away turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words, seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. That gives us the complete context of that Daniel prophecy, that sure word of prophecy that we're thankful that we have. And we note the last verse there, that many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. I'm not going to elaborate. I think we all know and are cognizant of what we have today. Now, whether by the light of present truth or by the light of science or whatever it may be, every advanced step of light and knowledge is that much more of a restraint upon darkness and upon evil and superstition. I think that we can all look back in our younger years, and many carry on, maybe not amongst the Bible students, but a lot of superstitions that have been handed down, it seems, for generation and generation, that still simple one, walking under a ladder. Very superstitious. And another one, superstition, is the 13th floor in a building. Have you ever been on an elevator and tried to stop at the 13th floor? There is no 13th floor. Why? There is one. It's up there. You count them. Usually it's a service area or whatever, but there's no 13th floor listed. Why? Because of superstition. Even in this day and age. I didn't believe that, but it's true. But I think that we can all have recognized many things that have been brought to light. The increase of knowledge on a lot of things that we considered superstition. And as a result, what do we see? We do see. We see the masses of humanity. They're clamoring for liberty. This is the other thing. And this is another subject. The Jubilee trumpet of Israel. The typical picture back there that is such a picture now when our Lord returned. What was the biggest thing? Was the clamoring of rights. Just in a matter of, I'm sure I mentioned it before, I think, not today, but women's suffrage, women's right to vote. You didn't have that until 1920 in this country. Liberty. Clamoring for liberty, not only in this country, but in Canada, the whole Americas, all of Europe. That's what they're clamoring for under one guise or another. They clamor for liberty under the banner of religion. They clamor for liberty under the banner of some political party or whatever. And how the words of the pastor ring true in the mind. Real and fancied rights for their liberties. They're getting awake. Not necessarily to the light of the truth, but awake to the chains of darkness and oppression and of exploitation that has been upon them. And it's a sad history to read about the exploitation of men and women and children. Even the history of the city of Buffalo, where the area we come from, when they every once in a while they'll put in the paper a little bit of the history of 1912, when they had 10 and 12 year old children working in the mills in Buffalo, making wallpaper was a big thing then. And the hours that these children were expected to work. 12, 14 hours a day for a child, 10 years old. You can't get hardly a man today to work even 8 hours. He has to have a break every half hour, it seems. An hour for lunch. Travel time to get from where he works to the time that he gets out the gate. Liberty, the Jubilee trumpet. Light, the binding, restraining of Satan. The light grows brighter and brighter. Now, what is the status of the church since the return of our Lord? The Apostle Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, we find this in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verses 51 and 52. I like the Rotherham's translation in this case. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52. Lo, a secret unto you do I declare, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, during the last trumpet. For it shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. We all recognize that the apostle was addressing the church of God, the church of God at Corinth, and of course addressing all of the true believers throughout the age. Those who would die, those who would be asleep in Christ, waiting for the last trumpet, the return of our Lord. And by the more sure word of prophecy, we believe that this awakening took place in 1881, the last trumpet still sounding, and those more than overcomers who finished their course since 1881 would no longer sleep in the ground, but be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Each day, this we can say positively and firmly, without getting into trouble, that each day brings us closer to the time that the last member of the body of Christ will make their calling and election sure, and be born again on the spirit plane to take their place in the Christ complete in the heavenly reign, in the heavenly realm. Those left to the great multitude will then quickly leave in a short period of time. I have no dates or thoughts on what time feature, but it will be a period of time. Those that are left will wash their robes white in the blood of the Lamb, and the last of the great multitude will signal the resurrection of that great multitude from the tomb to be before the throne. And after this will signal the time for Satan to be cast into the abyss. A symbolic statement again from Revelation to indicate the complete restraint of Satan. I'd like to turn to Revelation, the 20th chapter, verses 1 to 3. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. Now, it should be apparent that the angel is our Lord, returning in 1874. And the chain gives us the thought of great strength. You know, chains are used to secure loads on trucks. They're used for towing heavy vehicles, securing gates. You name it, there's other hundreds of uses of chains. Second verse. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Now remember our previous thought, and restrain. He put restraints on him. Satan would be restrained under the control of our returned Lord from the moment of our Lord's return. Only permitted to do what the Lord would deem necessary. An example of this. You know, we might have a mule that's left on his own. If farmers, I guess, can appreciate a mule, but you go out and you catch that mule, you lasso him, and you bring him in. He's under control when you put that rope on him. You bring him in, you put a harness on him or whatever, a bit in his mouth, you can put that mule to work. He only does what you permit him to do. And I think this is the thought. Only permitted to do. Satan is only permitted to do what the Lord would deem necessary to divide his house. And then, after the great company finishes their course, third verse of the 20th chapter of Revelation, and cast him into the bottomless pit. Shut him up. Put a seal on him. Hogtie this mule. Mule can't move at all. He's completely restrained. Set a seal on him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. complete restraint, cannot deceive the nations. The peoples of the world know more until the Messianic age, that 1,000-year period of our Lord's kingdom will have been completed. The resurrection process will have brought all of humanity who have willingly obeyed the corrections and instructions of the mediatorial reign, all in Christ, will then be tested when 1,000 years are completed and Satan is released, as stated in the verses 7 to 10 of this 20th chapter of Revelation. Every human being, now perfect, able to be responsible for their own actions, will be tested, Satan loosed, and his sole object will be to deceive, just as it was before. And those who fail the test, who cast their lot with Satan, will then be cast into the lake of fire and sulfur. Symbolic book, symbolic term for complete destruction forever, along with their deceiver Satan, for all those faithful to the Heavenly Father, ages of glory. And if we're faithful to our covenant, we will have the privilege of helping the world of mankind up that highway of holiness to come to this position of complete upright standing, perfection, and for the ages to come, eye hath not seen nor ear heard what is in store for the church or for the world of mankind. May the Lord add his blessing.
Thank you, Brother McAllister. Certainly very happy that eventually Satan will be completely bound, and that being the case, the kingdom work will commence. We'll ask Brother McAllister to close this afternoon with prayer, asking a blessing on our meal.
Loving Heavenly Father, we hallow thy holy name and come before thy holy throne of grace through the worthy name and merit of thy Son, our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. And we thank thee that we're able to set ourselves aside for meditation and consideration of the prophetic promises, to consider our Christian walk. And indeed, we pray that for help in being watchful, that we indeed may watch our conduct and our manner and our armor, that we might keep our armor on and polished and in readiness to avert the deceptions that are around at this time in these evil days, and pray for the soon manifestation of thy kingdom. Now we ask thy dismissal and thy blessing and the blessing upon the temporal provisions that have been so graciously provided by the brethren of West Suburban. Bless our conversations that it might glorify thy name, for we pray and give thee thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.